And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Now, there's no footage of this story, and I'm really sad about it. But we're going to push on anyway.
Okay.
Because it's about one of our favourites. You know Ja Rule.
Yeah. Uh-oh, another episode. Do I do? To everybody that be living it up, we say. What? Famously, you always say that he came to Geelong.
10 years ago, he did a gig at Cunningham Pier with Ashanti and was supposed to get on stage at like 9, I think, and got on stage just before midnight. And people were wild. And so that's what in Geelong, Ja Rule is known for, being late to the stage, which is Ashanti was supporting him as well. Like it was Ja Rule and Ashanti, which is a huge lineup.
Yeah, of course.
To be playing Cunningham Pier. The irony of their song being called Always On Time.
But she also says, I'm not always there when you call.
So. Yeah.
So maybe it's like
she took it to the stage hand, the stage manager. Yeah. Not always there when you call.
Presenting Ja Rule and Ashanti. That's Ja Rule and Ashanti.
She shanty be here. Okay, so Ja Rule has moved into his probably more chill phase of life. He's not releasing music, as we know.
Well, he was involved with the Fyre Festival, remember?
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
So I think he's probably kind of got out of that, and yeah.
And you know, there's the petty 50 Cent stuff going around at the moment where everyone's talking to 50 Cent and he's like, oh yeah, I've done a heap of petty stuff to heap of people.
He's the best.
To Ja Rule. Did you hear what he did to Ja Rule?
Yeah.
He bought like the whole first 5 rows or something of one of his gigs. He found out the tickets were like $15 or something.
Yeah.
Or $30. And then so he bought 5 front rows. He's like, because then you have to work for it. If you get out on stage and the whole front 5 rows are empty of your gig, you really have to work.
Oh, so amazing, petty. Amazing. And then he was on late night. I forget who was interviewing him and what show he was on. But he was like, yeah, and I got it on Groupon too.
Yeah, that's
like,
it.
Like,
yeah,
he was even like
the
final dig. Yeah. It's just like being like, yeah, hilarious. These tickets were so cheap.
Anyway, Ja Rule is playing a lot of golf. And it's probably the best place for him. On the golf course, just minding his own business.
Okay.
Unless, of course, he gets invited to like one of these like celeb pro-am things.
Yeah.
Which is what he's done. It's called the Derek Jeter Invitational.
Okay.
In the Bahamas. And he has done the most amazing thing as he's teed off, right? So
everyone, are you talking golf terms or is like he's teed off as in he's cracked the shits?
No, as in golf terms.
Okay.
He's playing golf. He's probably going to tee off at some point. But in the golfing sense, he has taken a few practice swings. So this is like he plays golf, like not professionally, but he has picked up a golf club before.
Yeah.
Can confirm.
Okay.
There's a crowd around him, take some practice swings, and there's an announcer, and they kept saying, like as he's swinging, and then he's like, hey, Ja Rule, where'd you get those calves from? And, you know, like just mucking around because he was wearing shorts, right?
Sledging him.
A little bit, Ja Rule comes back with, I got to ignore y'all right now. I got to put this thing up, like the ball, meaning like
all right. Wow, bang. So many terms I'm just not understanding.
And so he lined up off the tee and shanked it immediately into a member of the crowd.
Oh.
Full strength, full noise, just,
no.
I mean, he's a huge man, so I don't know how hard it hit the guy. The guy's okay.
If he hit that news reporter, though, that would have been so much better of a story.
Someone yelled out, damn.
Ja Rule,
yeah.
The problems continue.
Yeah, Golf Week's Adam Shupak was the guy that got hit. It was a loud thud and the crowd went, ooh.
That's the worst. If you've ever been involved in a crowd going, ooh moment.
So it's like,
oh,
it's
God.
Like, whack, doof, ooh, ooh, damn. That's definitely something I would do, absolutely.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Remember, one of the biggest things that happened this year was at a Coldplay concert.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like this.
Yeah. Oh, look at these two.
All right, so this happened in July. Can you believe?
Wow.
Man, the year turns. The wheel turns fast.
Yeah.
And so Coldplay were doing a concert in Boston, and there was astronomer CEO Andy Byron there, as was HR head Kristen Cabot. And they were...
Just be careful with your choice of words, please.
Shush. And so they were there. Andy was behind her hugging her.
Yeah.
Camera went on them.
Yeah.
And then they just... He went, OF.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
And kind of fled. And she like went down.
Yeah.
And then their friend put the friend standing next to them put their hand over their face like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God.
The way they peeled off was hilarious.
Yeah. Had they just stayed there,
yeah,
it wouldn't have made news.
Nah.
But you got a feel for them being part of the biggest news story of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't heard from Kristen before until today.
Well, what we know, though, is that both of them have separated from their partners. His wife left him, and I believe her husband, who's also like a billionaire or something, left her.
Okay, so that's not correct. So
okay.
So her and her husband were already separated.
Right.
When this happened.
Right.
And he was at the concert as well in a different, completely different area.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
But so, yes, the CEO, Andy, his wife left him. I don't know if her former husband was a billionaire, but anyway, let's read on.
From like a super rich Boston family.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's read on together, shall we? So she has finally addressed this now viral incident. She said, I made a bad decision and had a couple of high noons, which is a type of drink, right? Mm. And danced and acted inappropriately with my boss. She told this to the New York Times. She said, and it's not nothing. And I took accountability and I gave up my career for that. That's the price I chose to pay.
Mm.
Which does suck in a sense too, because it was kind of like, you know, yeah, she couldn't continue on there and she had to give away this job, but also sucky circumstance. So, you know, you get, you sow your bed seeds, you got to lay with the flowers.
Not, again, choice of words, mate.
So she has been shamed online and even mocked SNL, mocked them and adulterer. She said that she had up to 60 threats on her life. Like, that's ridiculous.
That's a bit much, yeah.
That's ridiculous. She admitted that she had a crush on him, the boss, and was excited to introduce him to her friend, but claimed that before the night, the pair hadn't even kissed. So they hadn't kissed. It was a bit kind of flirty. She had a bit of a crush in him.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, but you would say that. So
well, see, okay. So I know. Yeah. So they shared a couple tequila cocktails. They danced together. They exchanged a kiss in the VIP balcony seats at the concert. She said that was their first and only time.
Oh, we've been hooking up for 3 years, you know, behind closed doors, but now we've been caught. Oh, it was the first night, guys. Yeah, it was the first time we'd ever touched.
Yeah. She said that she regrets what she described as a cliche moment.
Yeah, it
saying,
is. It's super cliche.
So cliche.
Oh,
HR and the CEO as well. I want my kids to know that you can make mistakes and you can really screw up, but you don't have to be threatened to be killed for them.
Oh, that's
well,
absolutely.
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, let's stop that. Like, internet is a scary place.
Yeah, yeah.
She said that when she made that decision to duck and hide, and then Chris Martin said they're either really shy, they're having an affair, right? She said she felt embarrassed and so horrified, and both of them ran back to the bar behind the seat immediately after.
A little kiss and then parted ways.
She said she was concerned about two things, her career and her estranged husband, Andrew, who was also at the concert that night.
Wow, she was worried about Andrew.
Okay. She said she didn't want to humiliate her ex and that they had been married for 2 years but were separated at the time of the scandal, right? Mm. She said that she knew how poorly it looked to be snuggled up to her boss. She said, I'm the head of HR. He's the CEO. It's so cliche and so bad.
Yeah.
She said that they both sat in the bar and they were shocked after the event.
Yeah.
Heads in their hands, and they began to devise a plan moving forward.
Okay.
They said that they wrote out this email and they were like, we need to inform Astronomer, the brand that they both work for, right, the company.
Yeah.
They're like, we need to inform the board what's happened. They drafted this email and they said, but by the time they'd sent it out the next morning, the footage had already gone viral.
Yeah.
Right? They were immediately placed on leave by Astronomer.
Yeah.
And then the company made an investigation into it. And then he resigned as CEO. She then resigned from her job.
Mm.
And that's that. She said, I think as women always do, I took the bulk of the abuse. Wow. People were saying I was a gold digger, slept my way to the top. She explained through her career she had to swap men away when they placed their hands on her body without invitation, dismissed their inappropriate remarks. She said, I worked so hard to dispel that all my life and here I was being accused of it. And, yeah, there you go. That's her official statement from the New York Times.
Okay.
So you're not really buying that as a whole?
I mean, everybody has sort of challenges through their career, and I'm not saying that you don't have a harder time of it as a woman because absolutely documented 100%.
Thank you. Appreciate
written
it.
In stone yeah. that women just in general have a shit of time on yeah. it for sure. But you don't then get to be a turd and turn around and go, but I, you know, yeah. sort of the journey that I've taken to get here, yeah. you know, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that she's spoken about it now in December. So that hopefully it's like they're thinking, we'll just wrap this up. Mate, this is going to be one of the things that gets brought up in every recap of the 2020s.
Yes,
I'm telling you, this is going to be one of the things.
Yeah. The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. Talking about beautiful new places to live.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Werribee Open Range Zoo has the Elephant Trail. It's open now. The elephants are there. And Look Chai is the bull elephant.
Yes. And bull elephant is the male one, for those who don't know.
That's right.
Fathered three calves.
Yep.
With three different baby mamas.
Mm-hmm.
He visits them all.
Yeah.
It's very Nick Cannon, you know.
Very Werribee.
Having that.
It's a good time. It's just an incredible setup for them. And, yeah, if you haven't been yet, we strongly suggest you go and check it out. We hadn't had the opportunity until early last week.
Yeah, and the opportunity we were given was once in a lifetime. So they've got the behind-the-scenes setup. We were able to become zookeepers for an hour behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And this involved going into the elephant bull bar. Now, we thought that...
Bull bar or bull barn?
Bull barn, sorry. Yeah.
We did think that might be a gay bar.
We did. We were like, oh, the elephant bull barn.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm ready for a cocktail. Mm. No.
No.
It's where Look Chai hangs out.
That's right. Just as much trunk.
Yes. So think of it like this. It's like a giant shed and half of it has like some steel grating that goes all the way to the roof.
Like it's a big fence.
It's like a massive fence and there's got holes in the fence.
Yep.
Now, some of them are elephant ear-shaped. Some of them are elephant trunk-shaped. Some of them are elephant foot-shaped.
And height.
And height. And you might be thinking, why? Well, that's because they train Look Chai to do a whole bunch of different things to keep him healthy and happy and safe.
Yeah. And we got to see it all firsthand.
So we're going to run through a lot of the different behaviours that we train these guys for, and it's also they can participate in their own care. You'll see Taylor giving some verbal cues as well as some visual ones, and you'll see Look Chai being magnificent.
So clever.
So what we're going to start with is just giving his feet a good check. So elephants are massive, as you may notice. Look Chai's about 4,500. Kilos.
Wow.
He's the biggest that we have, and they're putting a lot of, you know, they've got a lot of weight on those feet.
Yeah.
So that's one thing we want to check every single day is just to make sure there's nothing stuck inside those on the foot, in the nails or anything like that. You can see they have lots of grooves on the bottom of their pads. That's what we call the bottom of their foot, the pad. And that's great. We want that because it's kind of like having tread on a tire. They're quite clean today. Sometimes we come in and he's been in the mud and it takes us probably half an hour just to clean the feet.
Does it feel nice underneath the foot? Is it like our foot? Like are there?
It's quite soft. It's soft and it's firm.
Yeah.
Hard to describe exactly.
It's like a shoe.
Almost. Yeah, so it's almost like a really thick callus.
Yeah.
Because obviously they are walking on that surface and on all sorts of different terrain. And the nails, they have 5 nails on their front feet and 4 on their back feet.
Is it hard to teach them to do this where they put their foot through the...
I wouldn't say it's hard to teach them. I think when you first start working with the elephants and they start learning how we're teaching, they are really quick to respond and they're so intelligent, they pick things up really quickly. So what we do when we're training the new behavior is we break it down into really small little bite-sized pieces where first step is the easiest. What's the easiest thing we could do to teach them to lift their foot is just encourage them to, you know, bring their foot towards a target. If any movement towards it, you bridge. So Taylor's got a whistle that she will blow when the behavior is correct or it's done at this point. And that means, good, food's coming. So
you didn't have to get in the cage and put your leg through and let the elephant see?
I didn't have to.
No, okay. That's Kat, one of the elephant trainers there, elephant keepers. And
Taylor and Pat were also there.
Yeah, there were three of them.
Yeah.
And it's incredible being up so close to these elephants. And they're so smart. They know exactly what to do, where to be.
Phenomenal. The thing is, there was a lot of food there for their training.
To be training. Yeah,
for their training purposes. What do they eat?
Yep, parsnip, carrot, apple, pear, pumpkin. What else have we got in there? We've got some hay cubes as well.
Can he be fussy?
He can be fussy. He's generally not too fussy. We have some of the other girls that are a bit more fussy. They're like, we don't want parsnips. Yeah. You can't blame them, especially when you've got like a banana there or an apple.
Now,
I was going to say, they do throw the food into the elephant's mouth. I did ask if it like would bite you.
Yes.
And the teeth are very grindy.
So grindy. And they're sort of on the side, which is really cool as well. Never been up that close to see it in real time, which is amazing. The other thing is, you know, weather's getting hot.
Mm.
And I heard a rumour about Lukchai.
Any truth to the rumour that he loves a bit of a midnight swim?
Oh, he does. He absolutely does. And also like early mornings when we first come in, we do a little lap of the area just to see where, make sure everything's still good. And we catch him in the pool most mornings. He's having a great time by himself, just living his life.
Love that.
Especially like as the weather warms up, he's in there a lot more. And rainy days as well. Once they get wet, they're like, let's go.
I love that.
Yeah. So between Kat and Taylor and Pat, mm-hmm. the three keepers there, they look like they love their work. And
oh, yeah.
We were getting so swept up in it, in this elephant bull barn, seeing the Lukchai get, you know, checked out and weighed and fed and all of that kind of thing. And it sort of got me thinking about how you get a job doing it.
What's your official role? So are you a zoologist? Are you an animal trainer?
We are elephant keepers.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a kid that's like, I want to be an elephant trainer at the Werribee Zoo, or maybe a radio host that is looking for a career change. Obviously years and years of study.
Yeah, so everyone's kind of gotten into zookeeping in different ways, but probably the most common way here in Australia is there's a course run by Taronga Training Institute, and they offer a course specifically about like captive animal management. Mm. So Taylor and Pat both did it, and part of that course involves having placements at zoos where you get 2 weeks at a time on a different section. Taylor did one of her placements here at Werribee and two at Melbourne, and so between like the four zoos Victoria property, they get a bit of exposure to a lot of different things, and then it really helps get you an idea of the hands-on part of the job.
Can you not give Lauren too much information, because we will lose her to
it's really, really hard.
Yeah. Very complicated.
It is very competitive because everyone loves animals, and if you don't, you're a little bit crazy.
That's
amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. That is just the first part of the fun we had behind the scenes at Werribee Zoo.
That's right. We're going from the barn.
Mm-hmm. Back of house.
Back to where the elephants actually roam around.
The elephant trail.
Elephant trail next.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
At Werribee Open Range Zoo.
Yes, we went there last week. We were zookeepers for the day with Kat, Taylor and Pat, who love the elephants. It's their whole world there at Werribee Zoo. And we went from the backstage area, you might say, to the front, to the elephant trail. They took us into the enclosure and they gave me powered secateurs to cut up some sugar cane.
Yeah.
Before we got the enclosure ready.
It was scary.
Lockie's got machinery.
Oh,
very nice.
Howard's secretary.
Yeah, I know. It's actually, I'm actually really scared now. It's
take that into the studio.
Ooh, delicious. Lick it. You lick it. No, you don't lick it. You put it off. As if he wants to eat your licked bloody...
All right. You too.
I know. Sorry.
We're going to put out some lovely food for this incredibly beautiful elephant. Yeah.
And we're going to do it nicely.
And it's going to be filmed.
Hey.
And you're going to remember you're on camera.
And let's all be nice to each other for this 1 minute of the day.
No deal.
Tim and Davo can get quite bossy.
Yeah, but, you know, it was needed, wasn't it? You, though, you love to get your hands dirty.
Absolutely. So we were driven in little buggies around to essentially where you can sit and watch the elephants in their ponds, would you call them? Their pools or whatever.
Yeah.
And then behind it, there's sort of grassy areas and areas for them to rove and feed. Mm. And also go to the toilet.
Are you shoveling some shit?
This isn't even part of the... This is just good work for him.
Yeah. Get that on camera for sure, the boss shoveling some shit. Actually, I'm going to get that for my own personal collection as well, to be honest. Get the bloody video out.
Get in on that one.
Dave, I absolutely loved it. Well done, you. We were all there to work.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we had food-wise, celery, tomatoes... We had lettuce heads and we were told to place them around the enclosure in different parts.
Yeah, so they could like forage and go looking for it.
Just anywhere around here?
Anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Especially it's good.
Do we forage plants together?
That's where there's like taller grass. Ooh. Where maybe
you can
see it.
It's like Easter. Oh, no, it's not.
All right.
It's not like Easter at all.
It's Easter, but with capsicums.
It's Easter, but we're the bunny.
In your mouth, in your mouth.
Heads up. Okay, less about hitting each other and more about feeding animals, okay? It was essentially just a throwing competition.
Well, yeah, if you tell us to throw food, we're obviously going to throw it at each other. Makes sense, doesn't it?
We couldn't help ourselves.
We had the best time at the Elephant Trail at Werribee Open Range Zoo.
It's amazing. Like, what a nice life for them here.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting really looked after.
Yeah. And they've got so many more opportunities for, like, natural cohesion and, like, fission and fusion of the herd. So they've got room to spread out when they want to. They've got room to come together when they want to.
Yeah.
They've got lots of different pools and different foraging and feeding activities, so obviously the amount of grass we've got here is amazing. We were never able to keep much of it alive at Melbourne in a small space, and here they've got like so many opportunities just to do what elephants do.
Oh my god, it's like life sometimes gets you down, but then you can't be down, can you? Look at this.
True.
Yep, so right.
And the thing is, we want to give this sunset safari experience away right now. So excitingly, for the very first time in the event's 8-year history, we always hear about the sunset safaris.
Yes.
But this time you're going to be able to experience the zoo's elephant herd roaming at sunset. It's golden hour. You know how much I love golden hour.
You are a golden hour guy. It's beautiful. You're also an elephant guy. And so the guys at Werribee Open Range Zoo would love to have you along. Jump online at zoo.org.au, Sunset Safari. Get yourself a pass. It's going to be an experience you'll never forget, much like we had last week. Huge shout out to all keep calling them trainers, but they're keepers, zoo keepers, elephant keepers, and Jesse and the team there. We really appreciate them having us at Werribee Open Range Zoo.
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.